all of Israel and all of Ishmael and all of the inhabitants of the world have a portion of the world to come. Perek 1, Mishnah 1. According to Pirkei Avot, Moshe received Torah at Sinai and transmitted it to Yehoshua, who in turn transmitted Torah to the elders, who transmitted Torah to the prophets, who in turn transmitted it to the men of the great assembly, according to the lineage of Pirkei and Imahot. Miriam received Torah at Sinai and passed it to Mahla, Noah, Hagla, Milka, and Tirza, the daughters of Tzelafcha, who passed it to Devorah, who gave it to Hannah, who passed it to Michal bat Shaul, eventually received by Beruria, and transmitted to Hannah Rochel of Ludmeria, Regina Jonas of Berlin, and now servicing again to walk side by side and share the light equally with the parallel lineage of men with which we began.
Transmission. I was born in my mother's 40th year, my father's 50th year. An accident and surprise of Pesach wine. And one result of that is there was one set of grandparents I didn't know at all, and one set I barely knew. And it's not them who I'm going to speak about today. I could say that my Grandma Brown, who lived nearby, whose Pesach dishes I use each year, I remember that she tore the toilet paper just before Erev Yom Kippur. And I remember Grandpa Brown, that the story that I was told was he was the first postman in the city of New York who was allowed to take off Shabbos and all the Jewish holidays. It's Grandpa Brown's tefillin that I use now. And though they would never have dreamed that I might have been ordained a rabbi, I think that they would have been satisfied that that part of the transmission, which seems to have skipped their children's generation, went on to mine. But the transmission I want to speak about is the one of the five grandchildren that are now part of our lives. The first grandchild, Yonit, and I want to say our grandchildren are Yonit, Shifra, Elior, Kalman, it's Babuhud. Talman will be reading Torah at 6:30 on Thursday. And to have five grandchildren with those names, and in the practice of Judaism, is very precious to us. But I had a dream that when it was so complicated, particularly at my stepdaughter's wedding, she had a mother as well as a father. And my place as stepmother was very complex, despite the fact that we love and adore each other. I had the dream that when the grandchildren were born, there would be no step attached. But when I offered to help out to stay in the 2 weeks or so after the birth of Yonit, the first grandchild, who I'm now very attached to, it was stepping on her mother's toes. And it was out of that awareness that as we thought about names we were to be called, I realized I couldn't be grandma as my grandma was to me, that I needed another name. And Bubby was not a name that came naturally to me. And I realized the one that felt right and the one that I have grown into these 10.5 years is Savta. A year and a half ago, many of you know, Arthur had a serious accident. He was away from home for 2 months, hospital, skilled nursing, hospital, rehab. And my daughter, at that very time, was due to give birth sometime between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Arthur was in the skilled nursing facility, and I had arranged with two very close friends that if the call should come, when it should come, they would step in to cover me for 2 weeks, to make sure there were visitors and fresh fruit and whatever else was needed, in loco wife. And on the ninth day after his accident, the phone rang at 6:30 in the morning, not surprising, from Arthur, but it turned out to be my daughter, and she said, I think you shouldn't go to work today. And I said, why? I have to go to work today. And then it dawned on me, I'm a little bit of a slow. And so I quickly called Arthur and said, Arthur, can I go? And as he says afterwards, there was not a team of wild horses he knew that could keep me from going. And so with his blessing and with US Air's great cooperation, I was on a plane within 2 hours, and I was there for labor and delivery, for the baby naming on Labor Day, and for in enough time to more or less get them started before I came home to accompany Arthur on the journey of surgery and what came afterwards. It is very different for me, this fifth grandchild, than the other four. It's not that I don't love the other four, but this grandchild I recognize. And I recognize the lineage of the generations in her. Her mother chose, like I chose, to stay home in the early years of child raising. Ya'ela is now 16 months old. And her mother chose, like I chose, to breastfeed. And when Marissa will say to me, now when Ya'ela does this, this is what it means, and this is what you need to do, I recognize that when my son, my firstborn, was 2 months old, I left a 6-page letter of instructions for my in-laws about what to do while I went away to the movies for 2 hours. I'm recognizing how very different it is to be a savta than it was to be an ima. Because I lived in my imahood at the time of the women's liberation movement's birth. And at the time, though, I did work and did have a profession at some point after the children were born. And though I felt very strongly the pressures of the outside world, I was also deeply connected to mothering and also somewhat embarrassed by that connection. Embarrassed by how passionate I felt about my children and how I felt I could kill if my children were threatened. And I was embarrassed by talking baby talk or wanting to be absorbed with the children. But I feel no embarrassment now. I feel it's like the reprieve for all of the things, all of the distractions around those early years of mothering. Now I have nothing else that matters. I was thinking several weeks ago in silent retreat during the week of Parshat Shemot, what it was like for in Moses' birth for his mother to put him into that basket. What it was like for him to go to live in another household with another family. What it was like for the mother for a brief time, for Yocheved, to be able to nurse. And it has raised for me the questions about how it is, what is the difference in the bonding of mothers with children and that of fathers. And it's raised in me the questions of what it is, the bonding of a mother who nurses a baby and one who doesn't. And it's made me think about how much more difficult the inevitable separation is for a mother who has bonded in that way from parents who may not have. So transmission is tremendously important. I miss what I didn't get and the feel foolish about the questions I never knew to ask. And I got a vision on my silent meditation retreat that for my 72nd birthday, which is only 4 more years away, what I want to do is to begin to celebrate those birthdays by bringing my children and my grandchildren and telling them the stories that I want them to know and inviting them to ask the questions they might never have thought to ask, and inviting them how I failed them, to tell me how I failed them as a mother, so that they and I don't go with those words unsaid. Transmission, very, very precious.